Hi, everyone. I'm Tara Mont, and you're listening to the Trust and Thrive with Tara Mont podcast, where you can find a new episode released every Thrive Thursday. I am a current clinical psychology graduate student, passionate about all things to do with mental health, relationships, healing, self-reflection, and other topics that influence us in our everyday lives. I created this podcast to hopefully inspire others to live their most authentic life and to share insightful and honest conversations with everyday individuals and informed professionals. Although the show is not a replacement for therapy, I hope the conversations had can inspire you to look within, to practice self-compassion, to gain more awareness, and to trust the process of your unique journey. If you resonate with the message of Trust and Thrive, make sure to subscribe and stay tuned. You can also stay connected by following me on Instagram at Trust and Thrive. Thank you for being here. Now let's get right into this week's episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. I hope you're all doing well. I hope you've had a smooth start to your week. I'm very excited to share this conversation. And so before we get into it, I just want to remind you that you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Trust and Thrive. And if you want to support the show and leave a rating and review, you can do so on Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. So thank you in advance if you choose to do so. So this week's guest is Carrie Smith Osei. Carrie is a trauma therapist and professional clinical counselor, three-time certified master life coach and couples coach. Her mission revolves around dismantling the societal taboos surrounding mental health while fostering avenues for intergenerational healing. Her clientele predominantly comprises of BIPOC individuals and LGBTQ+ community members, including allies. And if you want to learn more about Carrie, you can visit the show notes of this episode, where I will also include her Instagram, which is nuffhealing_therapist. That's Nuff, N-U-F-F, healing_therapist. I really enjoyed chatting with Carrie. She has such an amazing energy and so much passion. So thank you to Carrie for being here. I hope you all enjoy this episode. So we'll get right into the conversation with Carrie. Hi, Carrie. Thank you so much for being here. I'm excited to finally get to Zoom with you and connect. I know I've been following you on Instagram for a while, and I appreciate your content. I appreciate your energy. So thank you for being here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing so well. And I want to say equally, I enjoy your content on Instagram. Amazing stuff. So I do love to connect with colleagues. Listen. This is what it's all about, I think, at the end of the day. So thank you for having me.
Of course. Of course. I appreciate that. And so to start, can you just tell listeners a little bit about yourself, whatever you'd like to share, maybe what inspired you to get into the field you're in, if there's anything specific that led to it, or just a little bit about what you do?
Sure. Now, I do have to ask you, do you want the short version or the long version? Because I've done a lot of things.
I'm open to the long version if you're okay sharing that. We love that.
I find when I start to share things about myself, it's almost like, obviously I know it's me, right? So, but I start to say the things and I'm like, holy crap, you've done a lot of things. Like you're doing a lot of things. So anyways, all right. So I was born and raised in Jamaica. People never believe that, but yes, y'all, I am actually Jamaican. So born and raised until the age of 10, when I came to the United States, I definitely took advantage of the opportunities that this country has to offer. I know we complain about America a lot, guys. I get it. However, if you really take advantage of what there is to offer here, you can go far. I am a living, breathing testimonial of that. I got a really great education here that allowed me to start several businesses. So I worked in marketing and advertising for, over 10 years before I left to start my own marketing consulting business, because I figured if I'm making other people millions of dollars, why not do it for myself, right? Yes. Everyone go that route if you have the idea in your mind. Like, it just makes sense. So after doing the marketing consulting business for a few years, I personally, I felt a push to do more and be more. And I know others listening can identify with that. It's like, you don't know exactly what it is you're going to do or supposed to do, but you feel it. It's something that needs to be birthed. So that's how I then became a life coach. No one thought that was sustainable because I genuinely remember someone saying, who's going to pay you to help them with their life? And I was like, what? Lots of people? Wait, what? It made me have, I had to stop and think about it. Spoiler alert. I did it. Fast forward to me definitely helping people to propel forward in their own life, right? And that inspired me then to, I guess, keep going in my own purpose. So I remember coaching clients saying to me often, why don't you just become a therapist? And I was like, okay, slow down, y'all. I'm doing too much. No one wants that debt. No one wants to take that time. But I couldn't resist because genuinely, if I'm being honest with myself, I always knew that was a route I would probably end up going. It was fear that didn't allow me to do it. But then I took another leap of faith and I became a therapist and a professional clinical counselor. So in total, I've been in the personal development space now for a little over 14 years, which is always like, what? But yeah, so to summarize, I am a trauma therapist. I am a professional clinical counselor. I am a 3-time certified master life coach. I am a certified law of attraction practitioner. I know y'all. And I'm a certified emotion code practitioner. And for those of you who don't know, emotion code is an energy healing modality that works with the subconscious using muscle testing. And I use muscle testing to basically find and remove trapped emotions, negative emotions in the physical body. So I'm all of those things. I work with individuals 18 years older. I don't work with kids anymore. I did, but the parents. Okay, we won't talk about that now, but I prefer working with adults. So I work with adults 18 and over, couples and families. And honestly, my goal is to remove the stigma that's associated with mental health, right? And with that, my hope is also to create generational healing. So far, so great. Everyone appreciates that piece of the puzzle in the work that I do. I do take a holistic approach to promoting healing. So that means emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual. I also work with primarily BIPOC women and men in the LGBTQ plus community, but I also work with allies. So that kind of translates to all are welcome. And I love that journey for us because I feel like whomever wants the help and needs the help, they will find me. They will be attracted to the work that I do. And again, so far, so great. So what inspired me to get into the field? I always feel like that's a trick question because there's like a selfish reason. And then there's like the bigger collective reason.
And all are welcome, by the way. There's no one right or one way or one answer sometimes.
Exactly. So what truly inspired me, right? It was because I wanted to be a resource for people who are overlooked, people who are marginalized, people who are underserved. I'm a part of a community that falls into that category. So I wanted to be of service. I wanted to be of service to those who felt shame for asking for help. I know there was a time when I felt that way. And then honestly, the selfish reason is I'm fascinated by psychology and I wanted to understand why people acted the way that they did, why they thought the way that they do. And that includes myself, by the way, right? But it was kind of like wanting to give myself a cheat sheet to like people's minds. And man, has it been a journey? I have to resist the temptation always to diagnose strangers. Because, wow, I'll be on like the line at the grocery store overhearing, you know, or ear hustling a conversation. And I'm like, holy shit, that person probably has XYZ. And then I'm like, no, Carrie, no, buy the bread and the eggs and get out. Why are you like, you don't even know that gentleman or that, you know, young lady. But it's kind of cool, though, when you know the stuff and you can apply it just to life and yourself. It's genuinely helped me on my own healing journey. It's helped me to give myself grace. It's helped me to curate self-compassion for myself because I get it now, right? Like I didn't just pop up as an adult and I am this way. So many things led to that. And childhood trauma in particular, which is also what prompted me to become a trauma therapist, because I'm like, wow, if we only understood that, we could connect all those dots and become better, right? Like I always say, none of us heals 100% because I don't know, once you heal, your time's up here, right? Like you've learned all the things and I'm not ready for time to be up. So the constant process is you're healing. And as you're healing, you're expanding, right? And as you're expanding, life feels better. So because the world still exists and we still all have to be in it, I know we can never all be actually healed. But I'm inspired by the fact that my work allows people to feel more comfortable in their skin. And I love it. I love it so much. Trauma is my jam. I know that sounds weird, y'all, but I promise you it is, right? Like I say that and people are like, what? You're passionate about trauma? I'm like, yeah, you're not. Oh, you're not. Okay, got it. But yeah, so that's kind of the long version of what led me to here. But I feel really honored and blessed that I have purpose in this life and I'm able to show up and help people transform their lives. Like, that's the real reason that I do this, right? Like, I love to just be a part of that process and bear witness to people shifting and changing. Like, how exciting is that? And I don't even like to take credit. Clients love to say, oh my God, thank you so much. And I'm like, dude, you showed up. Like, you did the work. I was in the car with you driving, but in the passenger seat, but you drove us here, right? So it's awesome. But anyways, I could go on and on about that. So I'll stop there. But yeah, that's my reasoning.
I appreciate that. And there's so many things you were saying that I'm like, oh, I could relate to that, or I could touch on that. And that's really cool too, because I know I not, you know, maybe for like a few years was in advertising as well. And I had like a very similar path. So it was really cool to hear you say, like, I knew this is kind of what I wanted to do in some ways. And I so appreciate your authenticity in saying, you know, I had my own stuff to work on too. Like, I feel that as well. And I think many therapists, I can only speak for myself, but it's not all altruistic, and that's okay. Like, I had my own stuff I needed to work on. And you know what? It had filled something in me seeing that I was able to support someone else. And that's just a truth, while also acknowledging that I want to be there for other people. So thank you for being honest. I do appreciate that. And I know you touched on some trauma work and do shadow work. Can you explain what that looks like or what that means for someone who's never heard of that?
Sure. So shadow work is, people genuinely don't like to do shadow work. Why? Because you have to go into like the deep corners of like your soul and your lived experiences to see what you're hiding, what you're not allowing the world to see, right? Because usually the things you have to work on doing shadow work are things that aren't acceptable. Anger is one of the big ones that people come to me with. They're just like, I don't want to be an angry person. I don't want to admit that I have, you know, this characteristic. I'm jealous. Yeah, I envy what other people have and do. And so shadow work allows you to go into those crevices and really shine a light on it and work on it. Ask yourself the deeper introspective questions of, why am I like this? Where did I learn this? That's a really big one. I love to share that with people when they are doing this work and they're like, oh my gosh, why am I like this? I'm like, pause. Not why are you like this? Where did you learn this? And because you learned it, you kind of hid it away from the world. But essentially, you're only as sick as your secrets. So shadow work allows you to bring all that gook to, you know, to the stage, if you will, shine a light on it and realize, oh, I'm not broken. Nothing is actually really wrong with me. I just have this stuff that I feel ashamed of, right? So I love shadow work for that reason. I knew that becoming a trauma therapist, I was going to include that in the work I was doing, because it's also, it's interconnected with trauma healing. And it's also a really great way for people to ease their way into the trauma healing, because they do share the similarity of bringing things to the surface, right? Trauma healing does the same. You're bringing unresolved emotions to the surface. And again, every time you bring something to the surface and you can look at it, you take the power away from it. So shadow work is amazing for that reason. But yeah, people, I want to say they hate it because also I haven't spoken to everyone in the world, but people definitely shy away from it because it feels hard. It's challenging, but everything worth having and the healing that is sustainable, it's going to be challenging, right? And so I approach it from a space of, gentleness at first, because you got to baby step people into it. Like, I am definitely a kumbaya type of a person, but I can also give you the tough love. So I baby step people into that. And then we can figure out whether or not you have the level of resilience it's going to take to go deeper. But everything is a process, right? Like, there's a treatment plan and you kind of step by step by step. But shadow work, in my personal opinion, is the secret sauce to healing. Because once you can look at yourself in the mirror and really say, hey, you have been judgmental. You are jealous of people. You actually do have anger in you, right? But that's okay. You know this about yourself now. Now let's work on it. Like, once you can face that, listen, being in the world and people trying to come at you, it's going to mean nothing, because you're going to be like, I already know those things about myself. I'm already working on it. So you take that and stuff it. Well, I don't really encourage people to talk like that, but I'm just saying, if you do, if that's your thing, go for it. I look at it right up there with, like, people pleasing, right? Which is one of your specialties. And that's one of the parts of shadow work too. Like, we have to shine the light on, why are you so nice all the time? Like, where does that come from? It's like, oh shit, that comes from, dang it. Yeah, me feeling like I have to show up this way so that people will like me. Well, why do you want people to like you? And then the questions go on and on. And then that's where you see trauma healing and shadow work truly get interconnected. And now you have answers. You have a way of seeing what this thing is that you're feeling. And I personally think that's very empowering. So your business, and you see, you're like, oh, wow, I was powerful all along. Yes, you were.
Yeah,
all along. So I hope that answered
that. Yes, no, definitely. I appreciate that. And I think that's so beautifully said. And I especially appreciate that you mentioned that, like, you kind of test out the waters sometimes, because I think especially with trauma work, and it can be so difficult to unpack that treasure chest that we've kept closed for so long. And if we're not ready to, or if we're not in the safe space to do so, or if we're doing it with, like, a loved one who maybe doesn't have the capacity to be there for us, or it's not their place, that can actually do more damage. So I think it's so beautiful, the work that you do and creating that safe space to let people kind of see where they are, if they're ready to get to that point, and kind of also acknowledge that this is a lifelong journey. It's not like, okay, we're healed today, we're healed and we're all good. So I'm curious if you've noticed that in your work, and your thoughts on, for anyone who's thinking, like, this feels like such a constant process, like, one day I feel great about myself, I'm aware of this pattern, the next day I'm repeating it, the next day I feel great, the next day I feel bad about what I'm doing. What would you say to someone who is maybe getting discouraged while they're on the roller coaster that is life and healing?
Yeah. So, I love how you stated that. So I do think of life as a roller coaster, right? And I know personally, I'm very scared of roller coasters, but I like the adrenaline that comes from being on a roller coaster, right? So the first thing is just to understand that, yes, it is a roller coaster. It's not going to look perfect. Healing is not linear, y'all. Healing is not done in a vacuum. So yeah, you're going to have tough days. Then you're going to have days where you feel like, I made it. And then you're going to realize, oh no, wait, what? It's still happening? Yeah. Don't be discouraged. Just know you're not alone. That's like the biggest piece of advice I can give. Because often when we're in that process and it feels topsy-turvy, you think you're isolated in this and that you're the only one that just can't get it together. Why can't I just be healed already? Because there's no such thing that exists. I'm a therapist and I'm still in my own healing process. I have a therapist. Like, this, it's never ending. So I want you to know, for those of you listening, where you feel discouraged or overwhelmed, take a beat, stop for a moment. Cause you can also pause in your process, right? To, like, get your footing, catch your breath. It is important that you're working with someone that you feel safe with, because they will allow you to do that. Like, sometimes in sessions, it's just quiet for a few minutes because something has hit someone's heart space where they're just like, oof, hold on. And I go, okay. And I just create the space for you to hold on, for you to stop, right? So I think it is important to work with someone that you feel safe with, because that will lend to, when you feel discouraged, when you feel overwhelmed, for someone to step into that gap for you and say, okay, and I'm holding the space. And many times we get confused as to what holding the space looks like. It's for me, it's literally the silence that feels comfortable for someone. So I don't keep prodding. I don't keep poking at you. I just let you be. And because I'm also an energy healer, my secret sauce is I'm actually taking some of that energy from you. People don't realize that because I'm doing a lot of things behind the proverbial scenes. You know, it's kind of right up there where people think therapists just genuinely just sit and listen all day to problems. And like, we're not actually doing anything else. And I'm like, if you only understood the 50 things that are happening while you see me looking so comfortable sitting across from you, it's like, you have no idea. I'm taking notes in my head, sometimes on paper, right? Like I'm watching your body language. I'm listening for things you're not saying. Like I'm watching, it's so many things happening. So like at the end of the day, to be able to do that and still make a client feel comfortable, like you're not broken. Nothing is wrong on that level where we can't work towards helping you to see what it is. Like that all exists, right? So if you're discouraged and it feels like too much, just know it's a process and you're allowed to pause in the process. You're allowed to take deep breaths in the process. You're allowed to feel like you don't know what the hell you're doing in the process. But if you're working with someone that can see you and really like hear you, feel what you're feeling from the space of like just empathy, right? Because I stopped saying I understand in sessions a long time ago because you know what? I don't. I do, but I don't. I don't understand your actual journey because you're living it, but I do understand what that could possibly feel like. So I start to say things like, I can only imagine, right? So when you say that to someone in a process that's feeling overwhelmed, they feel seen because it's like, wow, okay. So I can take my time. So I can slow down. Yeah, you can. So I'm giving everyone permission that's listening right now to know that they are allowed to stop in the process if it feels too much. But just know the discomfort in the beginning leads to sustainable, you know, healing in the end. So yeah, you know, like a kid learning how to ride a bike, they don't automatically get on the bike and yeah, two wheels, I'm on it. They fall over many times, right? They get scratched up, bruised up, but they keep getting on. And all of a sudden, no training wheels. You're just out there. Now you're doing wheelies. Now you're like doing these tricks and you're like, what? And I remind you, remember when you got on and you fell off like 10 times and you wanted to give up, but you said, no, I really, really want to learn to ride a bike. Well, do you really, really want your healing? Because if you do, it's a process. But again, with the right person working with you in the process, it could feel scary, but you will feel comforted. So, I mean, that might not be like the most straightforward answer because people genuinely sometimes, right? They want like the magic pill. Well, no, tell me how it's going to stop. And it's like, there's no magic pill. It's just a slow slip, like a slow sip of the healing tea, if you will, right? It's over the course of time. So,
no, that's really well said. And I think that's also similar to like when people come into therapy, like fix my child or fix me or help me. And I'm like, no one needs to be fixed, by the way. And I also am really glad you overall mentioned the importance of a safe space. And sometimes the truth is the therapist you're with or someone you're talking to may not be able or may not be the right fit for you. And I think even saying something like or recognizing that I understand can actually be invalidating sometimes, because if I said I understand to like a Black transgender man, that would be probably incredibly invalidating because I don't understand what that's like to live in their shoes and to be in their life. And if anything, being honest about not understanding but staying curious, I think can be more validating and create more support than like, I understand exactly what it's like to, no, I'm like, no, I don't. I don't have to worry about feeling unsafe when I walk outside other than being a woman, but that's a whole other thing. But it's a different, yeah, that's a whole other podcast. So I'm curious what you would say to someone who maybe has the privilege of looking into finding different therapists and maybe they kind of want to ask them some questions about whether or not they're the right fit. What would you say to someone who is trying to find someone who they think would support them in feeling seen or is just their right match, I guess you would say?
Yeah. So I always think of the finding the right therapist journey as like a matchmaking opportunity. Like you're dating, right? When you're dating with a long-term goal of like marrying someone, you don't just date one person normally, right? Like you date several people. Like it's literally that, so that you can feel each person out. So when you're trying to find the right therapist, I always remind people it's an actual relationship, right? This is someone you're going to bear it all with. You're going to spill your guts. You're going to say dark, deep secrets that maybe you've never said before. You may be coming in with a presenting problem of like anxiety or depression or a mood disorder or something like that. So you want to ask your therapist what their experience is with dealing with the thing that you're feeling. Like, that's always like a super important thing to ask, because yeah, we're all trained the same, right? But it depends, because some of us have specialties. And while we all kind of know generally a lot of the things, some of us go into specialties so that we can specifically work with a population that's having, you know, a particular type of presenting problem that we can actually handle as a therapist. We are ethically bound, y'all, to not take you on as a client if it is outside of our scope of competence. Now, all therapists are not created equal. I get that. I get that there are some bad apples in the bunch. So sometimes therapists will lie and they'll say, yeah, I could work. I can help you work on these 10 things, when they know damn well they can't really. But either they want to challenge themselves. First of all, not the right time to challenge yourself messing with somebody's life. Or they are embarrassed to say that they don't work with a particular specialty. So always ask your therapist, like, what kind of experience do you have working with, you know, what I'm coming to you with? Depending on your race, ask a therapist, you know, what type of experience do you have working with the race, my race, you know, the population that I belong to. With the LGBTQ plus population in particular, what I tend to find, people end up with me sometimes after having gone to several therapists that, yeah, on like Psychology Today have on their little bio LGBTQ. But then when they go, they're just like, they're educating the therapist. And that doesn't, who the hell wants to do that all session? I mean, there is some education that does have to happen sometimes, because again, everything is relative to your life subjectively. But you want to ask that too. And that's like a good example of a population that not every therapist should be working with, because not every therapist can, you know, and have the person feel safe. So something that I tell people to ask if they're looking for someone in particular that is like LGBTQ plus focused is ask them again, how much work have you done with this population? And if you want to be, you know, a little low key petty, not that I encourage that, but, you know, sometimes you have to.
A little sprinkle of pettiness sometimes.
Sprinkle a little petty on. You want to say when they respond, because they're going to respond and say, yeah, I've worked with XYZ. Say, yeah, but was it performative? Or did you actually have the knowledge? Ooh, fire, yeah. Right? Like shots fired. It's like,
then what? They're just like,
that's literally calling somebody out, like in your consult.
Yeah.
Depending on their answer, you should even listen for how quickly they answer. Because if someone's offended by that, it's like, oh, what? A hit dog will holler, right? So I know for me, I mean, people don't actually ask me that because it's pretty clear. I market myself as such and they know. But I think making sure the therapist is clear on what your needs are, that they can handle that, that either they're comfortable with the population you belong to, or they have done the amount of work that is necessary for someone to feel safe. And that's not just LGBTQ plus. It could be anything, right? You as a therapist, you have to be comfortable saying that to the client. And you also have to be clear, if you can't do it, don't be afraid. Like, yeah. This is like an interview for both you and the therapist. It's important for you to feel comfortable. Intuition is my last thing. Feel into that in a consultation. Like, if you feel kind of like, ugh, I don't know, like they're not saying anything wrong, but this doesn't feel great, then that's not the therapist for you. You know, and sometimes it can take a while to find a therapist. I don't want you to get discouraged if you have to see like 3 or 4 before you find like your perfect match. It's okay, because it's someone you want to have a long-term relationship with. And it's your time, it's your money, right? It's an investment of energy, both of you, the therapist and the person. So never be afraid to ask as many questions as necessary. Never, never be afraid to do that.
Exactly. And you're so right. I think a lot of people may go to like one session or see one therapist and think, well, therapy just isn't for me. And it's like, it's the same as saying like, oh, well, maybe I'm not meant to be with someone because you had one bad date. It's like, there's so many different personalities and individuals you can find. So I appreciate you mentioning all that. From personal experience too, when you kind of start doing your own inner work and start to heal your own wounds, it can be, from my experience, I know I looked at people outside of me and thought, I want to not necessarily teach them, but I want them to see what I know, to understand that this isn't a great pattern. I want them to, you know, be a part of this and at the same time add other layers of other identities. For example, you're BIPOC or in the LGBTQ plus community and you're seeing people in your community being hurt every day and murdered every day and dealing with real systemic issues that you can't change from just going to therapy. And that's still a real experience that's happening. So for someone who's working on themselves, but still their external world and real life that's happening around them is, of course, maybe not matching that. What would you say to someone who is feeling discouraged in that way of, I've been working on myself, but I still am witnessing all of this happen around me and I feel helpless maybe?
Yeah. Oof. That's so good because that is happening on a daily basis. The majority of my clients are BIPOC. And so when things happen in the world, they come in and we have to process that. And it's hard because I'm a part of the community too. So sometimes it looks like, and I know in the therapy world, this is shunned, but I'm in it with them. Like we might be crying together about this. Like I feel like in a scenario like that, showing the humanness of the therapist and the relatability is helpful because guess what? I can't change what's going on externally. You can't change that. But I'll be damned if you don't get clear that you have support and that you have a place to come and unpack that, right? Also, I encourage people, your sphere of influence, like what can you control and what can't you control? And I don't try to, you know, there's no bypassing, right? There's no like spiritual bypassing of just positive vibes only. Like, it's okay. Like the world.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's
the toxic positivity.
It's fine. Don't worry. Like you're in therapy. Like you're not part of the problem. It's like, no, there is a genuine realness that has to come from sitting inside of that, right? Where I don't make false promises and I don't say, yeah, you know, the world is awful, but you're a good person, so you don't worry. No, the world is awful and we have to figure out how to be in it and do our best in it so that we don't break down. But I also remind people about community because there's community self-care. There's something about being a therapist of color, seeing a client of color and us having that dialogue where they know it's real talk. Like I don't have to sugarcoat anything. Gosh, my clients, I can tell they're comfortable because just the way they speak, right? Like there's no sugarcoat. And I am also very much myself. Like how I'm talking to you right now is how I talk in my real life, is how I talk in a session. Clients are always so like happy for that because I'm not pretending to be something I'm not. I'm like, yeah, they're killing us in droves and we feel bad about it and that's okay. And talk to me, cry, let's cry about it. Let's, you know, all the things, let's just dive in it because it's messed up. And there's no reason why we should worry about being Black and jogging, being Black and going to the store, being Black and just being in our house, minding our business, right? Like it's effed up. And I get that. Sometimes it's my own visceral anger about it that I connect with the client on where they feel like, okay, I'm seen. And you know what? That's the secret sauce because in the world, we don't feel seen. But in this room, I reassure you that you are worthy. You are someone. And it's not our fault that the world has decided to make us the scapegoats. But change starts with each person. So this is where I'm not bypassing, but I'm empowering. I'm like, for each of us that remembers what I'm sharing and stands up, and we do that in a collective, we feel and become more powerful. No, we may not be able to change the entire system, but change starts with one. Like I became a therapist to be a voice for the voiceless, right? It starts with me. I give that to a client. A client takes that into the world, gives that to a family member. That family member gives it to someone when they go to church. And right? Like it's an avalanche of solution, at the very least being how you feel about yourself. Because you go into the world and if you feel invisible, if you remember, you know, head high, chest out, no, I'm not, you take up space. And that's what I think a lot of, you know, the system is worried about, that we're all going to figure out simultaneously that we could take up space. And then it's a wrap. I mean, I don't know when that's going to happen. I hope for it to happen, you know, in a nonviolent way. But I hope we all can realize that we need to start entering rooms and taking up space. right? And that's how I sit with clients who are doing the work and still feel like they're being beat down as they go into the world. And I remind them, without this work, it would feel worse. Like, imagine if you didn't have someone to reassure you on a weekly basis that you are worthy. Like, it would feel even more awful. And so my hope is, in therapy with me, people love it so much that they tell others and they come to therapy, right? And again, for each person that comes, that I get to build up and put them back out in the world, it reduces the stress a little bit, because we know what we can control, we know what we can't, but we come together in community and we remind each other that we are worthy. It's not 100% solution, but it's the best we can do based on not being able to change, you know, other than like going and voting and clearly like getting people out of government. But that's even hard, because that becomes a challenge in itself. Can you even get to the polls, right? Like, there's privilege that some people have that others don't. So I just sit in it with people and we do the best that we can, honestly.
And I want to validate that you showing up as human and being angry, showing your feelings, sitting with the client, like that is so, I imagine, validating for people who maybe have never had those emotions or those expressions of emotions modeled in their own life. And it may be easy for another therapist to just say, oh yeah, that happened in the news. Anyway, how are you doing? Like, aside from that, but it's like being able to acknowledge the full humanness and reality of someone, as opposed to like, okay, now let's just work on this other thing, when maybe their mind is like thinking about something completely different that week and they're thinking of what's going on. And so I just appreciate that you model that humanness in therapists, because I know as a new therapist, I've been working on that as well, and how that actually is such a healing thing to just be human in the room with each other. So thank you. And then for someone who maybe doesn't have the privilege to see a therapist or counselor, what would you tell them if they are starting to work on understanding themselves and they want to reflect on whatever it may be, whether it's their wounds, their inner work, they're trying to learn to regulate their emotions, whatever their goals are in that sense, and they don't have access to therapy, what are some tools you think they can use, or what are some things they can do to, you know, kind of take that step forward if they can't see a therapist maybe?
So YouTube University is like my favorite place to send people. Why? Because my God, everything you can even fathom is on YouTube. And I'm actually being serious, right? So whatever it is that you're feeling, like feel so anxious, type that into the bar, the search bar. What do you do when you feel anxious? Now, I get it. This feels like maybe I'm taking the easy way out by just pointing someone to another resource, but genuinely I'm not, because sometimes that is all that somebody has access to, right? Maybe they have a free government phone that has internet, right? And YouTube is a free app. So yeah, use it. Utilize that. I promise you. Yeah, people are giving themselves like ghost degrees through YouTube University. And what I mean, you could learn anything, right? Like, you could become anyone. A neurosurgeon. I don't suggest that, but I'm just giving you the example of like how much information is out there. So without resources to come physically to see a therapist or to start that journey, start to think about where resources are that are free there. So there is the YouTube. There's also community resources that a lot of times are free. So you can do a Google search for your local, you know, your local community mental health agency, where chances are extremely high that therapy will either be at a nominal fee or free. So it does exist. That is out there for you. As far as like things you can do like in the moment immediately, like if someone right now is listening to this and they're like, oh my gosh, I don't have like a car to drive to my local mental health agency, or I don't know, the phone isn't working, I can't get to YouTube or whatever. One of the easiest things, and if you already have it within you, is just the notion of stopping, pausing, and taking deep breaths. Like, that literally brings you back on track most of the time. And I say that because breath is a secret weapon. We forget that breathing is what keeps us going. And if we can control our breath, it can calm us down. Literally deep breaths. Like, that's so simple. Breath is connection to life. And we forget that. And that is something you have control over, right? You don't need permission for that. That's free. Also, outside is free. Usually. I mean, I know every time I go outside, it feels like I spend $100 for no reason. And I'm just like, what just happened? Like,
I feel that. Yeah.
It's like, why did I come out here? This is why I'm not coming out here. But jokingly, I'm saying that jokingly, but not. Seriously though, like parks, right? Like go be in nature, go sit. Obviously, depending on where you live and what the weather is like, clearly I'm speaking to, you know, a part of the nation with that, but it is something that's available. Go be in nature. Nature heals. Go hug a tree. I know. Airy fairy, all the things. Literally hug a tree. It's energetic transfer, right? And healing. We are a part of all things that are outside of us. Like nature, grounding yourself, because that's essentially what I'm saying. Go in nature and ground. All that means is take your shoes off. Like let your feet feel the ground, this the dirt, the grass, the sand, wherever you are, and know that that's giving you energy too. Put it all together. Go outside in nature, take deep breaths, and slow down. All free. All free. If you don't have access to a park nearby, just do it wherever you are, right? It may look strange to someone, like you're randomly hugging like a tree in your neighborhood, but I mean, I'm forever hugging a tree somewhere, and I don't really give a damn what people think, because I'm getting the healing. So free resources such as YouTube University, free resources that exist at a community mental health agency, and then just use your own body. Breath, meditation, which I know for some people feels very intimidating because they think they should be sitting cross-legged like a guru, very this. No, you can meditate while brushing your teeth. You can meditate while having a meal, right? Like meditation is just doing your best to turn your thoughts off and just being and just sitting. There's no rule book to how it has to look. When I'm at a like stoplight sometimes, you know, longer light, I'll meditate then. I mean, my eyes are still open. That's the other thing, right? But nothing's on. I'll turn the music off or whatever I'm listening to, and I'll just sit for those 90 seconds and breathe. And I'm holding the steering wheel and I'm just breathing. I'm not looking at what anyone else is doing, right? I'm not, but also you're being careful because you don't want to like lose yourself. I'm just using this example as something I do, but obviously safety first. But literally meditation is just stopping and being for a few minutes. That's it. And you can do that if you don't have access to an actual therapist. But also lots of therapists do sliding scales. Lots of therapists like me, I have pro bono spots as a part of my business model, because I know I also started a nonprofit that I'm getting up and running to address this exact problem, right? Access to therapy for those who don't. So until that all comes to fruition, yeah, use the things that exist that people, you know, don't think much of. I'm telling you, YouTube University, yeah. YouTube needs to pay me for this, because is this going to be sponsored by YouTube?
No, those are all honestly such great resources and tools. And you're right, there's so many different ways to like find support. Even like reading comments sometimes in a video, I'm like, oh, I'm really not alone in this. Like that is so validating. And of course, I'm not saying that replaces therapy, but little things like that can be very validating. So thank you for sharing that. And thank you for being here. I just have a few last questions to wrap up. This whole show is about, or one of the themes is about living authentically. And we also recognize on the show that living authentically can be such a privilege for many people. And every space is not a place where we maybe want to show up authentically for many reasons. But I'm curious, because every guest has a different answer, and I love this question for that reason. How would you define living your most authentic life?
So I genuinely feel like I am living my most authentic life. And I think I started doing that when I stopped giving a damn about what other people think. I have a really good example, and then I'll give a little more detail to that. I remember being in grad school and the professor talking about how basically what it translated to was, we as a therapist have to dim our light in order to make sure the client doesn't feel overwhelmed or is distracted. And then he went into detail. He's like, you know, be mindful of like the scents that you wear in a session, the clothes that you wear, you know, your hairstyles. And the whole time, as like one of like three people of color in this entire freaking cohort, I was looking at him. And interestingly enough, he was a person of color too. So I was kind of, you know, I was surprised. I said, and I raised my hand and I was like, okay, so my hair is shaved into a mohawk and I have locks and I'm very I show up and I'm creative in how I dress and, you know, all the things. Are you telling me I have to not be any of those things so that a client can feel comfortable? And he was like, well, you got to tone it down because, you know, you come in there and, you know, if you have big earrings, they're going to, you know, focus on the earrings. And I was like, sir, my target is going to be people of color. And those are the people who are going to call me all the way out. If I come in here, you know, in a cardigan, no shade to cardigans. I know.
Yeah.
Cardigans are like, it's
therapist
like,
staple, it's like, yeah. Okay,
but I haven't worn a cardigan in a long time. So there's that, but I'm going to be myself. And I just remember feeling so empowered saying that. And other people in the class looking at me like, yeah, I'm so glad someone said it. I mean, they weren't going to say it because, you know, you don't want to be on the hit list of the professor, but I think he respected me for saying that. And so that's how I think about how I live my life authentically. I'm not going to change who I am to please the masses. For me, I've already done that. Like working in corporate America was a shit show for me. I mean, it was a shit show because it felt like every day I went in, I was like on a stage, right? Like I was an actor. I was like, okay, what voice are we going to use in this meeting? Because it's older, you know, older white men, and you're the only woman and the only woman of color in this space. And they're all going to look at you like, you know, whatever. So how are you going to present here? So I had to think about that. Like the clothes that I wore, it was too much. Like, come on, enough. Like, no one, I can't. Right. And the thing is, I was really good at that job. Like, I loved marketing and advertising. I loved it. The things I saw, the people I met, but the way I had to show up never felt 100% comfortable. So I made myself a promise when I went out on my own. I no longer was going to morph into what the masses needed. Yes, there's a time and a place, and I'm still professional and all the things, but I speak how I speak because I am educated and I am intelligent and I am all the things, right? But I also don't have to show up and be performative in how I do things because I know who I am, right? Like, I know I can handle myself. So living authentically for me means just that. Showing up in each area of your life and honestly not giving a, you know, a F about what anyone thinks about that. That is trusting myself that I know what I'm doing. That is constantly doing self-discovery because I am constantly expanding and changing. So living an authentic life means paying attention to that. You know, well, Carrie, you liked being XYZ 2 years ago, but do you still like that? Are you sure? Right? Like constantly checking in with myself to make sure that things make sense. It's also about embracing my imperfection because by no means do I think I'm perfect. In fact, it is because I'm not perfect that I'm really good at this job, right? And living in this purpose because I don't pretend to know it all. When a client asks me something, if I don't know the answer, I don't lie. I genuinely will say, I don't know, but what a great question. Let me see if I can get information on that. And if I can't, I'll come back and be like, still don't know. So there's also that, right? But I think that's a really great way to show authenticity. I'm honest with myself about things. I don't know. I follow my passion. That's like another way that I live inside of authenticity because I'm not afraid to fail. And I know a lot of people are, you know? And I remember my stepdad, when he was alive, having a conversation with me about if I haven't failed as many times as I have succeeded, I will never be able to sustain success. He said, because you have to know what the other side looks like and it humbles you. And I was like, yeah, because everyone wants to just kind of bypass failure and all the things that come with it. But why? It truly lets you know who you are. It also allows you to see how you handle mishap, right? And that allows me to be authentic because even though I'm a life coach, even though I'm a therapist, I'm all these things and people may perceive that I have it all together and I know exactly how to do the thing. I'm clear with myself that I don't, right? Like I experienced imposter syndrome a lot in the beginning when I was a therapist. I forgot that I was a life coach for like a million years, right? Like I came into there as a therapist and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even know. My own therapist had to remind me, Carrie, you've been a life coach for X amount of years. You've been a therapist for X amount of years. It's not the same. Give yourself grace. Thank you. You're right. Also felt authentic in that. Being able to tell myself, yeah, you're not good at this thing and that's okay. but just keep trying, right? And to not pretend like I'm good at a thing when I'm not. I think that's a big part of being authentic, because a lot of people do the fake it till you make it. I used to believe in that. Now I'm about faith it till I make it. If I believe that I can, I will. I just got to let it unfold, right? I just got to let it unfold. So that, in not so much of a nutshell, is what makes me live and feel like I live an authentic life. But yeah, I mean, there's so many other things, but I think those are like the main things.
No, I love that. And I can definitely relate. Like every time you're talking, I'm like, yes, yes. Write notes. Yes. I appreciate that. And so lastly, kind of connected to authenticity, I want to ask if you can take a second to think about a younger version of yourself. You can think about Carrie at 5 years old, whatever age. You can think about Carrie yesterday. Choose one version of yourself from the past, a younger version of yourself. And what's something you would say to her?
I just did a reel. You may have seen it on Instagram, where I'm actually having a conversation with several younger versions of myself. And I actually gave like a whole speech. That was off the top of my head, so I can't, you know, I don't have that memorized. But what I would say to maybe, ooh, this is new, 3-year-old me. And the reason I was like, ooh, is because do I actually have memories of 3-year-old me? I'm not sure, but I know what happened to 3-year-old me, right? So for the listening audience, I'll just briefly tell you what happened. My mom, I was still in Jamaica. My mom left to come to the United States, but no one told my brother or I. So it's like, we kind of went to sleep and then like we woke up and she was gone for 7 years. Okay, for years, right? So 3-year-old version of me, I would imagine, was so confused, because I can kind of feel that in my body, that it was confusion. That, and PS, for those, I want everyone to be clear. My mom and I, like, I love her. We're in a great place. Like, I came to live with her at 10. I've been with her. It's great. It's fine. We did the work. I did the work. But yeah, that must have been devastating to 3-year-old me, right? So what I would say as adult present day me to that 3-year-old version is, you didn't do anything wrong. Everything is okay. You're going to grow up to be so freaking magnificent. You're not even going to know what to do with yourself. You're going to touch so many people's lives based on how you feel right now. Your life is going to be bigger than you can ever imagine. So right now you feel sad and you don't understand and you're confused. There's more moments of that coming, but it turns out well, and everything works out for you. Oof. Yeah, that felt powerful. This is the first time I've ever done that. I've never talked to 3-year-old or thought about that 3-year-old version in the way you just asked me. I thought about being 3 years old and this happening, but that was powerful. Ooh, thanks for that.
Yeah, of course. No, thank you for sharing. I mean, that was just so beautifully said. And I think a lot of people can resonate with, whether it's a similar situation or just hearing that for themselves can be so powerful. So thank you. And so I really appreciate you being here, showing up authentically, being vulnerable. And lastly, for anyone who's listening and wants to learn more about your work or follow along, I'll also include this in the show notes, by the way, anything you send over. But is there anything you'd like to share with us? Or also, if you can share maybe your social handles, that'd be great.
Sure. So as far as social handles, you can go to my Instagram, which is Nuff, N-U-F-F, healing, all one word, _ therapist. So Nuff healing _ therapist. When you go there, you can click on my catch-all link and it'll take you everywhere. Coaching, events, you know, it's just easier to send people to Instagram. What I do have coming up that I'm super excited about, I have two things. One is just more general. I have some exciting new online courses based on shadow work and emotional healing that's going to be launching in the fall. But what I'm super duper 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 excited about is something I've never done before, which is I'm hosting my first virtual summit. Like, I've been a part of virtual summits. I've been a speaker. People have asked me to do things, but I've never hosted one. So it feels like a challenge I'm going to accept. So I'm going to host my first virtual summit launching on 10/10 called Nuff Wellness. And I'm going to be bringing together about 20 to 25 healers of color, where we're going to address unique challenges we all face as people of color on our journey to holistic well-being. And my major goal with doing that is really to just ignite a revolution of self-care, right? And resilience. And prosperity within our community. So I'm super excited about that. And I'm going to be sharing more about it within the next 2 weeks online. But yeah, I feel it's big. It's like a big task, but I feel ready. I feel ready. I can't explain. I just got the idea like less than 2 weeks ago. And it's been building in my body where I'm just like, oh yeah, we need this. So super excited. Please, if you see me posting about it on Instagram for your listeners, please support, forward it. I know it's targeted to people of color. Even if you're not a person of color, share it. That's one way that you can help us feel seen, right? And I'm not purposely trying to not include people, but there are many, many things out there that include everyone. I feel like this is just necessary for us right now. And I'm just excited. I'm excited. I'm really excited about it.
That's incredible. No, I can feel the passion, and that alone is such a beautiful thing. So thank you so much. And that's very exciting. I'll definitely follow along and support when I see anything. So thank you again for being here. I appreciate it and hope you have a wonderful rest of your week.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much for listening to the episode. Once again, you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Trust and Thrive. You can also find Carrie on Instagram at Nuff, that's N-U-F-F, healing_therapist. Please feel free to let me know, let Carrie know if anything in this episode resonated with you, if you maybe have a new perspective on a certain topic or experience in your own life. Please feel free to reach out, let us know. So I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and we will be back with a new episode next Thrive Thursday.